realizing the date and understanding the time that we've put in on the study on these things, the weekly things, studies, we realize we've used up 140 of those. Today's study is 140.
Wow.
And so that's quite a long one, but what can you say about the wisdom of God? You just really run out of words to say about what God had laid out for us to do, the Father, through the Son, and through all of these people that come after Adam, that God chose for a purpose. And to realize that there was something special about these people that God chose. And he blessed them and gave them gifts, gave them ways to show and to do things and to realize that that God's wisdom and the work of Christ was intertwined there to a point to where that all things, as it says in Romans, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord.
Amen.
And so we can read these things and begin to see and understand and answer some of our questions, because I think a lot of our questions sometimes gets to be, you look around one day and you say, well, why am I here? Or what am I doing here? And what's God given me to do for his will concerning the plan and purpose of the ages? And I think we sometimes take that lightly quite often. And Jack Eberly and I had a little discussion at a kind of a sidebar meeting that he and I had on one of our studies when he was here at Ebenezer speaking. And so I've been looking at that and studying at that some too for the upcoming conference. And buddy, this falls right in with it. So it's, it is for sure, things that needs to be talked about and said, regarding this. And we call him Young Timothy. I guess he's, to some people, he was still rather young, but to some he wasn't young, because according to Jack, when this was written, when Timothy was written by Paul, that Jack wrote, I don't know how he came about this, but he said that Timothy was in his late 30s at that time. So Timothy wasn't what we'd consider a teenager anymore. But the fact is, you know, most people look at age bringing on wisdom. And in most instances it does, because you have the time that you would sit down and spend in the Word of God. And this is basically what Paul is telling Timothy in these epistles, that about exercise. You know, he started off in Philippians and sounded like he was running races or ready to run a race. But here, as the time has rocked on, And we get Ephesians and Colossians and Titus and some of these other books that were penned. Then you realize that, well, the guy's old enough to have understood some of the things. Timothy was. But see, Timothy wasn't always in Paul's, with him, because he got sent on occasions to do other things for Paul and to bring back, the testimony of those that he went to see and to carry some of these messages to. But have you ever stopped to think about what was said about Timothy? Paul talked about it a little earlier. He talked about his mother and his grandmother. Mm-hmm. Where's the daddy? Where's the daddy? So this is an important, if this is an important thing that we need to stop and think about, because Timothy got most of his educational dealings through his mother and his grandmother, probably, and maybe not. Maybe his father didn't have a whole lot to do with that, or maybe nothing to do with that.
Father could have even been dead.
He could have been.
Mm-hmm. May not have had a dad.
But you see, here's the thing. The mother and the grandmother took up the mantle, just like my grandmother took up the mantle when my mother and father divorced and I was given to my father to raise. And so my grandmother took up that part of this. And between her and my grandfather, which was a Wesleyan Methodist minister, I got an education for the year and a half that I was with them the first time. And then when my grandfather died, then I stayed with my grandmother for 5 years. And when she talked to me and said, and I would catch her saying, your daddy done this and your daddy done that, but it wasn't my daddy that was doing it, that said it. It was my grandfather that said it. And I was with him a lot when I heard this, because I was the one that grandmother sent when he wanted to go fishing or wanted to go do something, that he was having these mini strokes and she was afraid he'd get somewhere. Nobody would know where he was. Here I was, 8, 9-year-old boy. 7, 8-year-old boy.
Keeping an eye on Grandpa.
And I went along keeping an eye on Grandpa. He gave me an education. And then Grandma really gave me an education. Why? Well, here I sit today. And every time I go somewhere. And
Paul calls them the paths that are foreordained that we should walk in them.
Yeah. So, you see, all this was going on during times that I didn't have a clue. Even my wife was being prepared. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what I was getting, but I couldn't have gotten a better one if I'd have tried for years. Well, here we are. So, you know, I think there's a lot of us that can relate to these things. And I know the Holy Spirit was dealing with me all the time. I had that much sense to know that. But it took one man to come in, well, two men, because I had a good friend that I was going to church with. And he was out looking for a new preacher for us. He come in and sat down on the end of my couch one night when it was storming. I thought we were going to get tornado hit. And he was he graduated from school and graduated from Clemson University with top honors. And he had photographic memory, Carl Henson. If he read something, he never forgot it. And he sat on the end of my couch and he said, "Well, I think we're gonna try to get this guy." I said, "He knows things that we don't know." And I hadn't committed my life to Christ at that time. I looked at him right funny, and the thought came into my mind. You're sitting there, and we can bring up the subject, and you can just rattle off scripture and all this stuff, and here you are being head of a department at Clemson University that deals with all them people's money down there, because he was payroll and insurance guy for the university, which done a lot of the work for the U.S. government. And I said, you're talking that you've met somebody that knows things that you don't know?
It's kind of hard to believe when it was Carl, wasn't it?
And I sat there with my mouth open.
Yeah, he was a smart fella.
I said, yeah, okay. And then when he got him there, well, that was Lori's dad here. Happened to be. I didn't know it at the time, but Carl said, "Oh, yeah, he's got several kids. And one of them is still with me now. Sitting here at the table. Married my son, Ronnie."
And she still stays with me.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
43 years later.
Thank you. So, do you think I'm ever going to quit? Not unless the Lord quits me. There is no retiring from being a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
If you think otherwise, then let's read the Bible a little more. We need to change. We need to change all this, and we're right in the middle of this now. Just it's not something really new, but it's something that is so fresh. Even today, and it talks about it here in 1 Timothy 4 and 1 Timothy 5. And Paul is reminding Timothy about this because it has everything to do with his testimony and his walk concerning the body of Christ in the Mysterion Truth. Okay, don't want to spend all my time. We're going to start tonight in 1 Timothy 4, 10. And we're going to look at 10, 11, and 12, maybe. I hope there's a lot here that Jack has left for us to look at. And we'll get as far along as we can, as we've been doing. And we'll continue on next time. But we just keep on keeping on. So 1 Timothy 4:10 says this: "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." And there's not a, that's not a parenthetical insertion, but it seems like it should be. Because he gave his life's blood for all men, that they might be saved, that their sins might be forgiven, that they could be come from the Jewish religion into the body of Christ. Because that had been set aside early on in Acts 28:28. So I'm going to read my notes, and we'll do this like we've been doing with Jack's notes, and read now down from the Koine Greek, and then we'll read what Jack has left for us to look at. Because what he has left for us to look at is a lot that we may not think about. You know, he said it up here, to exercise thyself unto godliness. Well, because godliness is better than exercising the body in the ways of the world or in the body that we now have. But the body that we now have is not, it just isn't used to upholding the things that God says is good, and what he saw and what he put forth for us here on the earth without understanding. You got to have the understanding. The wisdom and the knowledge brings understanding. Because you can have a lot of wisdom about something. And I'll take me for example. I know that God is power. And I also know that we need power for just about everything that we do anymore. And the power comes into our homes. The power comes into the places where we work. And a lot of it comes in large amounts that has to be brought down to a useful situation. And that's something that, being a welder, that I never really had, because I never knew a lot about electricity, except the fact that it had to be broken down or brought down in forms that could be used. And I was told by these last people where I retired, that this lady, it was the HR lady, and she said, "Cecil, I guess if I'd have been here when you got hired," and I was the third one hired in the whole company, by the way, "said, I guess I'd have never hired you." And I said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, you don't know electronics. You don't know computer." I said, "Okay, when I go out to do my job, something breaks on a machine, and you go back to the crib, tool crib, and they don't have another part there, and they come running back there to me and say, 'Cecil, put this back together. We don't have anything, and we got to get these valves out of this building. Got to send them out to the people that are customers.'" What if I said, "Well, you know, you go get your electronic person and get you a computer guy, let him put it together." See, all of us don't have the same gift. And she stood there and thought about that a little bit and chewed on her tongue just a little bit and said, "Well, I guess I better get back to work." And she went back in the office, and you know what she done? Then she put me on her list of when she was going to hire somebody, I got to do the interview, some of it. Every one of them. and come into the plan after that. So see, sometimes we say things that we don't think things through. And so Paul is reminding Timothy, remember what your mother told you, and you remember what your grandmother said, because they have given you a basis of what I am telling you that you need not ever forget. So this is the lesson for today. Okay, let's look back at 10. It says, for therefore, or for this, we both, in the two things it mentions here, to labor and suffer. We labor and we suffer reproach. We strive for the work that we do for the Lord, and we revile for that same thing. People said, I don't believe that, or I won't believe that. You just go on.
Working under not so great conditions.
Yeah. Okay. Because we trust or have hope in the living, risen Savior, especially, that word it comes back up again, especially, of those that believe. Because those that don't believe, they don't have anything that's special. The special is the hope you get by reading God's Word rightly divided and understand it that way. And boy, that's a big subject to take up. I know. Doesn't it? Still doing it. Hope to do it for a while, as long as the Lord let me stay here. I keep telling people, I'm the oldest Mercury you ever seen. And that's not bragging. That's saying that when God is done with me, I know what my hope is. And the only thing that I have a question about is, did I do what he wanted me to do, really? I think we all get that feeling sometimes. Okay, I want to read you a note in the Companion Bible on the all men here, especially. It says, the Savior of all men, especially. All men, it says in the notes on 4:10, when our first parents incurred the penalty of immediate judicial death. Have you ever read Zephaniah 4, chapter 13, where he talks about there's me and one more living, and this was 400 years before Christ was born, and he said, if one of your sons says to you, I have become a prophet of God, take him out and kill him. Because there's not going to be any more until one comes. Verse 6 of that 13th chapter said, one will come that will have nail prints in his hands. And when you ask him, where or how he got them, he will tell you that I was with friends. That was 430 years before the nail prints were put in those hands. Amen. So for the last until Christ come and was born through Mary. And in the 30 years of waiting to be able to say what this young man had to say for himself, because now he was a man of his own, no nail prints. But like Brother Larry said in his message to us one day at church, which I never forgot, he said, I'm going to tell you about three people today. He said the first one was under a tree in the shade, and that was Andrew. When he was collecting up his 12 men that were going to be his disciples. And then there was the second man, was a short man, and he was a tax collector, and they told him that Christ was coming and he couldn't see over the crowd that was gathering, so he climbed up a tree. And then the third one was the one that was hung on the tree and got the nail prints in his hand. And he said, forgive them, Lord, they don't know what they do. I was with friends. That was what he was going to say when people would ask him, when he rose again from the grave. Oh, boy. That set me on fire. I couldn't say no to the Holy Spirit anymore. You ever went down the road driving an old Ford station wagon praying at the same time? That was a miracle in itself that I got on.
It was in that station.
Yeah. Because the car had already been wrecked. Yeah. It had been sideswiped. But what I said at that point in time, I said, the Lord, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you will show me what I'm supposed to do and lead me, give me understanding. I said, I'll do whatever you want done. I believe you, and I believe every word that was written in God's word. And they was no, from that time on, I've tried to do that. So there was a time when judicial death came, and the Lord would tell people, if you've got a son like that, get rid of him. I know a lot of people stop and scratch their head and say, well, why would a perfect God do that? Well, he was in control. He had a plan and purpose for the ages. And there's a lot of people that don't have a plan and purpose for the ages. And when I found that out, I said, gee, where's these guys been all my life? And I had a grandfather as a preacher. And he didn't know that. He hadn't come to that understanding. And I don't hold it against him, because you can't tell somebody, or you can't witness to somebody something that you don't know yourself. You can't do it. That's the reason we send our kids to school to sit down before a dean or a master teacher, because we don't have the information they do. And if they're going to get any more information, worldly information, they're going to get it that way. You got to get it that way. Ah, but when you get in the Word, Oh, when you get in the Word, that's a little different. You've got a teacher that remains in you if you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And that Holy Spirit will give you and me the guidance and the direction and the knowledge that wisdom brings to use that power and to use it for the purpose of the plan and purpose that God has laid out for us today. I'm not getting very far tonight, so rambling on, but it's not rambling. So, talks about the penalty of immediate judicial death. The race would have been extinguished had not God interposed before dealing with the culprits with the promise of the Redeemer and so suspending the execution of the sentence denounced. So there was a time when God had to intervene in his plan and purpose, or the people of the earth would begin to diminish off of the face of the earth, saying that they was a prophet of God. And so there has been others that have been chosen. But all that have been chosen, there's something about them. There's just something about them. Moses put in the basket in the river, carried into the Pharaoh's house, and they were killing. They were killing the young Jews, but they didn't kill Moses. And he could have grown up in the Pharaoh's house and had anything he wanted. But he denounced that. He said he was a godly child or a goodly child, because God had already chosen him to do a job that probably at the time no other man could have ever done on the earth.
Yeah.
Certainly without the help of God. And he was the one who said, you tarry there in Jerusalem until the Comforter comes, because it was always either with or upon someone, but now it is in, can be in somebody. And the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can come into your life and my life and not leave a scar. But I'm going to tell you something. It'll leave an impression on people around the world if you will let him do his work. There's a difference between a scar and an impression.
Yep.
That's what God's wanting. He is wanting man, when man opens his mouth, to bring forth the Word of God to individuals, and I'll say individuals, because now it's kind of a one-on-one thing that we've understood in these latter times that it seems to work better this way than it does in a group that we call a church. And think about it. Because when Paul got into trouble doing the work that Christ left unfinished, because God did not let his son reveal this until it was time. And when Paul took it up and Paul got into trouble, he said, look, if you're called before the authorities, or if you're called before the high priest, Don't sit around and study up what you're going to say. You let the Holy Spirit tell you what to say. And boy, does that ever make a testimony to mankind that is truly, when you think about it, is truly from the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants out of those that He has chosen. That's part of our job as being an adopted child of God, a saint of God, having been adopted into the service and the love that God expects man to have, man to man. Think about that. Okay. So we look, and it says we labor and suffer reproach. Well, we probably don't do it like Paul did, certainly, because he had a special deal there, because that's what they wanted to do to Christ, so they did it to Paul. That's the second best, I guess, we could say. And Paul served a lot of times doing a lot of things that we would consider disgraceful. But it was, Paul says it was done for the glory of God, and he didn't ever look back about that. Because he done some of it himself before he was struck down on the Damascus Road.
And by his own admission, he was chosen from his mother's womb.
Sure.
As he said in Galatians.
Absolutely.
And yet he's got, there's the dissertation of Philippians where he tells you everything that he put aside and counted as done.
Done. Yeah, right. Yeah. So he didn't look back, and he didn't retire. They probably took his life, but I don't know for sure what happened, but I'm pretty sure that he was martyred for what he done. So, if you can't get the man in charge, I guess you go to the next man, because they done the prophets that way. You know, it was said, well, how many prophets did you guys murder? You basically done them all in. When God was done with them, it seemed like it was fair game anymore. But, you know, that's just kind of the way it worked out. That way. Okay. So, looking back at verse 10 here, we're going to look at Jack's workman's interlinear here. And I'll tell you a little more about Jack and I in the meeting, that if you coming down to the to our conference, and I didn't really realize the importance of it until now, and that was several years ago, 15, 18 years ago. But it says, here out of the Koine, down out of the Koine Greek, it says, until this, for we labor and strive, because we have hope upon God living, who is preserver of all men, especially of believers. Now, that's a little different from what we read in the King James Version. And then to come on down into the more modern English, it says, for we labor and strive unto this because we hope upon a living God who is preserver of all men, especially of believers. So you see, he took the sins away of all those if they believe. But it's based upon a fact of belief. And Jack says this, while we are not told to strive with men for personal reasons, here we are enjoined to make the most strenuous of efforts. Our hope is not hopeless. We serve and worship the true and the living God. He preserves all men. This begins with the believer of the body members. He is our head. And will he not preserve his body? And then we got three or four places here that Jack leaves for us to look at. And some there are few and some there are many, and this one is a few. But we won't start off and look at Colossians. Let's turn back to Colossians. And then everything from Colossians 1 on down toward the end of the book, what he's left us here with, we'll go look at Colossians 1. 129. If I can get through Philippians here. Colossians 1:29. Is the last verse in chapter 1. But let's go back just a little bit. I know Ronnie, he does some posting, and I give him pains with that, I'm sure. But he says,
no, me and Chip have learned by now.
Talking about even the mystery which had been hidden from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, this plainly says, this is to the hope, to whom? It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So, this perfection comes through teaching and warning. This wisdom comes that way. He says, whereunto I also labor, Paul says, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Because you see, out in our yard or out on the post, on the road somewhere, when we talk about power that comes to our house, we talk about a transformer being there. We hook to a transformer. And it transforms that high voltage down to that we can use. Well, God is all powerful. Christ is all powerful. And the Holy Spirit does the work of the two, which makes three. And so the Holy Spirit is our transformer. Because that's the reason we can't look upon God with our eyes. He's too powerful. What did he say when he was talking to Moses and the bush was burning? He says, take off thy shoes. Where you standest is on holy ground. Because Moses now had some of this holiness that even the rest of the people didn't have. I tell you the reason why. Because when God chose the 70, at the time they had the traveling tabernacle or the traveling church, if you want to call it that, he picked 70 to be part of the council. And whenever they got done with the 70, two of the members, they were outside of the wherever they were holding this thing, come to Moses and said, hey, these two over here that are praying and prophesying. And Moses, he said, I thought you were just going to choose 70. Moses said, in essence, I'm not saying it word by word, but I would to God that all of you would do that. Look what we could do if all of you could do that. But you see, they had been given a dose of what these other people had that we read about in Scripture, that they laid hands on each other and transferred that power, because through that same system, they got the benefits of the gifts of God. And that goes along with what I'm going to talk about. And it kind of gives you a picture here of what's happening. So you got power. Into energy through you. P-I-E-T-A. Or P-I-E-T-Y, piety. That's power into energy through you. You're given all you can stand at the point. And that was what Paul did. Paul looked upon Christ, and he went blind. But prayer changed that transformation. The transformer was the guy that come, that God sent to get Paul's sight back. So he was the transformer at that particular instance. So you see, we think we're so smart that we can make all this great power and all this, but it's nothing to according to God's power that he gives to his son and that he gives to others that can use it in a way that it suits his will and purpose. Oh boy. And people think they can go up against a God like this and come out to the good. Satan didn't. And he knows what his deal's going to be, and other people will too, if they don't understand and accept and believe what God is trying to freely give them without a scar. But it caused the scars in the Son of God's palms of his hands. I was with my friends. I don't know if I could say anything any better than what I've already said. Okay. There whereunto also labor, Paul says, is striving according to the workings which worketh in me mightily. Paul had the power. Peter had the power. Peter had the power if you lied to him through the Holy Spirit. He had the power to take your breath, boom, you were gone. Acts 5, if you don't believe it, read Acts 5. The old fisherman had the power. Okay, let's look at another one. 2 Timothy 2:6. 2 Timothy 2:6. Well, we'll start with 5 because it says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully? The husbandman that laboreth must first partake of the fruits. And Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things, Timothy. Timothy's not mentioned there, but the epistle is written to Timothy. He says, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Because you see, Paul got turned loose for a little while when he was there in Rome. But they accused him of evildoing again because Nero was going to do away with him. And so he had to lawfully, or make it look lawfully, that he could put him down or put him away without interference in that. Okay, 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, I think it's 1:3. My handwriting has got a little old there, so wait a minute, I gotta go back the other way. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, I believe, is what I'm looking for. I'll get there in a minute. Now I gotta go back to 4:1, didn't I? I got it. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:3, we give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Listen to the list here. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, that God has chosen you, and he has chosen you, and we realize and we understand that our hope is like filthy rags, but yet the faith of our Lord did what he had promised his Father eons and eons and eons ago, even before the world ever was. We were known. We were understood to have been chosen then. So it's not something that God just took up 1,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago or 7,000 years ago. All this has been in the works forever, basically. Or to us, it would be forever. In the sense that we realize that time was made for us, it wasn't made for God. Because you see, when Jesus came, he was only here in the flesh for 33 years. That's not much more than a twinkle of an eye to God. Because 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years. I mean, it's not even 1 year. You know, but to us, 30 years seems like, you know, we get to be 30 years old. We think, you know, we're doing pretty good. We're getting right along here. But you see, the Lord, and the way he did, and what he did, and the way he looked at it, and what he said to the Father in the book of John, he knew it all these times and ages and things past. He knew, and he remembers. He could remember his time before he laid his glory aside. And he asked the Father, he said, could this cup pass from me? That was not the plan. It was not the purpose. But he, even in his flesh, he didn't even want to give that up. But he knew that he had to take the sins of the world in order to die, because the wages of sin is death. Without any sin, there is no death. Oh, that clears things up a little bit, doesn't it? So he took death in order for him to die, to get these nail prints that I left to talk about. Doherty left to talk about it. But here we are, you know. Okay. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter. That's the four things that Jack wanted us to look at. 1 Peter. One thirteen. 1 Peter 1:13. Here we go. I want to read a little more than 13. Let's start in verse 9, where it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Here it is. Wherefore, gird up the lines of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, the revelation of Jesus Christ was that needed to come unto mankind. And we are to work and strive through the words of God to finish that work. Peter, the old fisherman, he became very knowledgeable. But he was a tempestuous fellow. He would get into things he might not ought to get into, but the Lord would get him out of them. He seen Christ walk on the water. He wanted to walk on the water. That didn't go over big. And they was out fishing all night and didn't catch anything. And he told them, well, just cast your net on the other side of the boat. And they had more than they could draw in the net. And as they said more times than one, I'm sure, who is this individual that we have with us? But Peter knew for certain, because Christ had asked Peter, said, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Son of God, Peter. Mm-hmm. And the Lord told Peter, said, well, you know that by revelation. You know that by truth. You know that by seeing and hearing. And you know, that's what we have. Our testimony is knowing, seeing, and hearing this wisdom that we can transfer into the energy to do the bidding of God's word. That simple. But yet, it had been hid in God for times and ages before the world ever was. God knew that. And he knew what was to be done. But then he's working with bunch of people that were born in sin that had to be taken care of, that, you know, and we live in a place that could have been like the horn of plenty that you see put on a table in for Thanksgiving, but yet we had to work with the sweat of our brow to get what we have. And so it just goes on and on and on and on. But it's all there and laid out, but yet sometimes we never come to understand even the one little word that we're going to continue to talk about for the next three or four studies. That Jack used in places here that we don't see it. But this piety that we talk about is godliness. It's the things that God looks at, and it fits his plan and purpose. And the people that's doing it are called to do the work that he wants done. And oftentimes we have to kind of be hit over the head with something in order to see it and understand it. But it has to do with our testimony. If we don't have a testimony, then what is God going to be able to use from our old sinful being? If it's not worthy to mention. And that's not boasting, that's just being worthy of what he has laid out for us to do. Paul didn't call it boasting. He called it trying to live. One time he didn't. But God wasn't done with him, and he raised him up. He turned around and went back to these cities that had been told probably that he is dead already. Here he is coming back up the road. What would you say if something happened to you like that, you know? Gee. You know, we don't live in the same age, but we have it better than that. Because he has revealed to us his will. What time is it, Ronnie?
9:41. Time flies, you're having fun, don't it?
I ain't even got started. Good. Okay, we'll do the one verse of Scripture. And as I say, when I get wound up, I'm wound up. But I'm going to reveal something to you now about me. When I get involved in a study like this that's really, really, I feel is really, really important, when I get home and sit down, I feel like I've been in a wrestling match. And I think that's Satan at work through his ways of doing things that causes one. But it's so great to be able to sit down and to speak with you guys and that we can together get some understanding of what we need to do to carry this work on out. Because I personally don't think we got all these many years to get it done. And the age I'm getting, I can feel that every day. But glory be to his name that he is allowing me to learn things that I thought I'd never understand or never could get to know. Like old Carl sitting on the end of my sofa. I hope that I know some things that some people don't know that I can give that same report to them. Thank you for being with us. And may God bless you. He blessed me. He blesses me every day. And it's with prayer and thanksgiving. That's part of our testimony. Prayer and thanksgiving. Thank you again. Thank you again, because you could have done anything else tonight, but you chose to take a small peek at a big word or two that we're trying to get across to these people, and that Paul was trying to get across to Timothy. Remember. And to be the transformer. Because God has the power. And he will give us understanding to receive that he wants put forth. It's just that simple. God bless.